Welcome everyone to Paradigm Shifters. And boy, we have a paradigm shifter who's been shifting that paradigm for a long time. She takes the way you think and maybe adds to it, gets you to think with a much more proactive style into what's happening in life, interpreting what's happening in our life, and helping us be, I guess, stronger, less fearful, and more powerful as the turbulence mounts up. Welcome to the show. One of my favorite interviews is Linda Sherman of Soothsayer.com. Wonderful astrologer. Welcome, welcome, Linda.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's always a delight to be on your show.
Oh, it's a delight for me. And other people who don't always listen to the show go, oh, Linda Sherman, oh, for sure. Yeah. So you have a style. Now, I want to say it seems crazy out there. Am I wrong about that, Linda?
No, it's definitely crazy.
But I thought if you could teach us something or help us see how the waves of change are going on and how we can empower ourselves, learn to surf. I don't know if it's surfing or something of that ilk, okay, to get along with it.
Well, you know, as an astrologer, what we do is study the planetary pictures primarily in the solar system, and how they're transiting, what signs they're going through, and we look back in history to see, well, when these things were there before, so they don't exactly repeat themselves. Certain planets return to those positions, but they had other pictures that they were confronting. But right now, as I said, in all three of my books, I predicted that this time would be a very challenging and difficult and revolutionary period in human history.
But wait a sec, I'll tell you what, a lot of us didn't want to believe that.
I know. I said, you know, we astrologers, we're human like anybody else, and we look at what's coming and we say, oh, my God.
This must be a mistake, right?
but in the mid-1500s, Pluto transited Capricorn. We had the Protestant Reformation in Europe, which was huge because in Europe and throughout the world, the Catholic Church was just as powerful as any of the kings, the monarchies, or the governments. And the fact that someone challenged that was hugely significant. And then we had when Cortez invaded Central and South America and literally wiped out the Aztec Empire.
Oh, wow.
Was another time when Pluto transited Capricorn, where
oh,
it is.
Wow.
And the most recent time was the American Revolution. So we're having what I had said, the second American Revolution in this period of time that we're in, as to what we really, who we are, what we are. Democracy is being challenged in contrast to autocratic rule or authoritarian rule. And
the whole world order is being challenged.
The whole world, it's not just here in the United States. It's like a virus that's affected everybody across the board, and who's in control. And one of the major problems with a time like this is that people on the whole who are trying to go about their normal lives and everything are inundated with reality talk shows and information to the point where they don't even know what's happening anymore. They're blitzed. Mm-hmm. And the real news, the real essential things that are happening now in America, they're so overwhelmed by everything. They have a tendency to walk away from it and say, I don't want. One of the problems, I think, with a democracy is often people don't pay attention to the corruption or the bad things that come in. The people who go into positions of power, which in this case have been the giant banks and the giant corporations, which has soaked up now, 80 to 90% of the world's wealth. And it happened slowly enough that we didn't realize what was happening to us. And we have this. And then everybody wants to blame everybody else. They want to blame people of different races, different ethnic groups, and immigrants, and people of other nations, you know. But basically, who was in power over the past 40 to 50 years? It's been the giant corporations and the transnational banks,
right,
who have been the ones that have made these decisions to outsource labor and to destroy people's economic pathway. Democracy works when people feel they have a shot. They have a say in what goes on, and they have a shot of working their way up the economic ladder. And that has been destroyed for all but the upper 1 to 10% of this population. And the corporations kind of bought out the government. And over a period of time in both political parties and all administrations, this has been happening. And so now we're in a revolutionary period. And the problem with that is people would rather have a strong man that proclaims they could make an instant fix than they would deal with the process of voting for people and people trying to be diplomatic and work out deals in Congress and everything. They paid so little attention to what was really going on that led up to this that now they want somebody who promises they're going to be all these enemies that created our problem. We're going to get those guys and we're going to have an instant fix. That's how people like Trump get into office.
Right.
In our society, is people, he understood something that other candidates did not. I mean, he had a valid point about people's lives being overturned, but he not only doesn't know how to fix it. It's all about him and staying in power and not knowing what he's doing.
I don't think he knew the point he was making either. I don't think he understood what he was saying at all.
You know, he didn't understand at all. It's interesting that the famous Howard Stern has been appearing on several talk shows recently, and he has recently proclaimed that he knew Trump quite well. Trump never planned on winning this election. He was using it as a means to start up ratings on his reality talk show. And I saw when Trump was elected, I was up around 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. And when they came in his door and announced he had won, he was in shock. He did not expect to win. Mm-hmm. I've said this all along, and Howard Stern, kind of, who's a friend of Trump, confirmed it. He said it was a way of publicizing himself. He wasn't making money. He's been through many bankruptcies, lost huge amounts of money. His show was going downhill. So this was a gimmick. He said back when he wrote The Art of the Deal, his publicist said, what you want to do when you get this book out is say you're thinking of running for president. That will be a gimmick to sell your book. So running for president was a gimmick to sell his reality show.
Lord.
And now his destructive tactics, I don't even think people realize how bad, because he has a temporary Secretary of Defense. He hasn't even brought before the Congress a nomination for his Secretary of Defense. He's got what's called an acting Secretary of Defense. He has not appointed about two-thirds of the ambassadors around the world. The State Department, which he runs, is not running. It's not working. There is tremendous incompetence. But I want to say, as an astrologer, that I felt that if you were going to run somebody in 2016, you needed to run a more revolutionary person.
Right.
Hillary Clinton was the opposite of that. And
right. I did not want her in at all. You know,
no, nobody liked her.
No.
You know, she
it's called trust. I didn't trust her at all, and I certainly didn't trust Trump. But I guess a lot of people don't go into. I just want to say one other thing. I'm interrupting here because I want to throw this little bubble in before we go too much farther, which is when you talked about the banks and you talked about the corporations, one of the things that really, really, really disturbs me is the media control of minds, because marketing, the pundits and all their talk and blah, blah, blah. But the marketing, all the time, everything is marketed, and I don't trust any of it anymore. And
so right, Veronica. I could not agree with you more. Back in the 1980s, all these kids in college were getting degrees in marketing.
Right.
We became a society where every other minute we're simply pushing a product or selling a product. And the giant corporations own the news media, by the way.
I know that.
Own the news media, and the only one I have trust is actually PBS. In terms of mainstream media, PBS is pretty good in reporting the news, but the rest of
what
it.
What about the New York Times?
Well, the New York Times has been an outstanding newspaper throughout its history, but I have to say that part of the problem is that the New York Times has been influenced by corporations. It was bought out by a giant corporation, and these media companies, the newspapers, the networks are all owned by giant media corporations. So what you have is what these corporations will allow, and everybody is presenting their spiel like you would advertise a cosmetic or a car.
Oh.
Or a food or a pet product or everything. And on the network shows, if you try to watch a show, you get about 10 minutes of the show and you get 20 minutes of ads.
I know.
So I could not be more attuned to what your comment was that unfortunately, the other thing I was contemplating with our cell phones are constantly our smartphones. People are on them and texting and talking on smartphones and looking at TV screens. And we just, our eyeballs are focused on screens most throughout the day. Things aren't registering. You get to the point where you see so much that you see nothing.
I think
and
that's
everybody's
true.
Nervous system and brain is taxed. I'm old enough to remember the old days when something big appeared on television or mm-hmm. someplace, that there was a solemnity around it. There was a pause. Wow, this is big news. This is significant. Mm-hmm. This is important. And when people made speeches, I remember how significant they were and profound. And almost there was like a sanctuary type of thing around these things. Now, no matter how they could say, well, gee, the Russians just blew up New York City. Oh yeah, let's go to the next channel.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing is being registered. This is the problem. We're being programmed, we're being blitzed, all with the attempt to make corporate heads very, very wealthy at
right.
our expense.
Right.
And I've been writing about this through all three of my books and my newsletters.
It's what
you said is a sore point for me.
Yeah, it's a hugely sore point, and it's also we don't realize. So one of my interviewees is Peter Calhoun, and I often refer to him. He passed soon after I interviewed him. I don't think that was cause and effect, but he was a shaman priest, and he began to have visions and so on, and then he became the priest shaman. And mm-hmm. what was really interesting is he talked about how in his visions he saw this incredible, by the elite, there was a control through ideas and concepts placed over humanity. And it had been there for a long, long time. And that it takes an incredibly powerful and strong mind to push its way out of it. But we have been enslaved, and his job was to help people become unenslaved, and I think we see it nowadays as awakening. And I'm not trying to change
Absolutely.
The subject, but I think it's a way of looking at the same subject, isn't it?
I really agree with this. There is a collective zeitgeist to which people are hooked into more than any time in all of human history because of the electronic media, because of the internet.
Right.
And you know, it wasn't for nothing in the 1990s you had these movies called The Matrix, The Matrix.
Oh, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of movies, and a lot of people thought that was an analogy for how people are hooked today on a non-reality, and that there's some central control over our minds and our actions from this centralized control. Now, I don't think it's one entity. I think it's a whole group of entities that are subscribing to the same thing that have no sense of morality or responsibility. It's all about profits before lives, mm-hmm. profits before life on earth.
Numbers, all numbers, yeah?
Yes, and this is This is something that we have to work very hard to break ourselves away because it's addictive. It's mm-hmm. interesting that some time ago there was a young man who was part of designing smartphones for Apple and everything. He said we got together some psychologists to say how could we addict people to the screens of these smartphones? How could
wow.
we get them addicted?
Wow.
And he was in a confessional about it. And he said, boy, do I regret having been a part of this, but this is what they did. And mind control over us, you know, like the Borg in Star Trek, like mm-hmm. the Matrix, you know, these science fiction books and movies really have tapped in to what is really finally with all of our massive technological stuff. It's happening to us, and people have to declare that they are going to turn this off, that they're going to think for themselves, and that they're going to create a different kind of life. Now, what I think is going to force this is things are going to get so dark. First of all, the stock market went down this past. Well, it's really going down in the fall of the year. We're going into a severe recession and a major stock market sell-off. And Jupiter is returning to the position that it was in 2008. So we're definitely, this is going on with all the instabilities and all the craziness and everything that's going on. This, I don't know who's going to step up to the plate and do anything about it. I think it's just going to play out. And I do feel, however, that in the 2020s, when things are going into the sign of Aquarius, the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in December of 2020, the last time that happened was initiated the Renaissance in
oh.
Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto will go into Aquarius in 2024. But what we have, the elephant in every room, what we have uppermost is global climate change that in many parts of the world will be simply climate catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that nobody is doing anything, there's a lot of talk about it, a lot of wonderful organizations and the United Nations and the World Environmental Organizations, the global climate scientists and oceanographers, they're all announcing we're at the edge of the next great, sixth great extinction. And this is, you know, we're going to see this play out much faster than anybody thought. It's the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And as to who is those that will be left in regions that somehow will be less catastrophic than other regions will have to create a new world. And ironically, where technology has enslaved us, I think technology can also free us.
Wow. Okay.
And I see some major breakthroughs in physics, into different realities. And I see, as I've appeared on many shows, and in all of my books, I talk about this, hydrogen boron nuclear fusion is going to be the biggest breakthrough in human civilization since the invention of the wheel, because it will end all usage of fossil fuel. There's no pollution. There's no uranium. There's no plutonium. And there have been fusion reactions in all four of the major chambers of the world, in California, in Switzerland, in Germany, and in France. But they have to create an effective infrastructure to implement it. It would simply electrify the world with fusion reactions, an infinite amount of non-polluting energy. And the public knows little or nothing about this. I've been keeping track of it over the years. MIT solved the problem of electrical conductivity, which you have to solve if you're going to create the reaction and put it into an infrastructure that produces and transmits electricity. And I've been following this. And it's the most interesting thing to me. This may be the biggest deal of all, and nobody's talking about it.
Here's an interesting thing: is that if we could get into that particular combination. I can't quote it because I can't remember the exact things. Boiron, I remember that. But if we got into understanding that, could we avert the climate change in a
I don't
a
think we can
way?
Really avert. I think it's too late.
Okay.
To avert, there's many other things. For instance, there's organizations now that are trying to clean up the plastic in the oceans,
yeah.
which are destroying the life. I mean, the biggest ecosystem we have on the planet is the ocean ecosystem, and it's being wiped out. Most of the species going extinct in recent years have been fish and oceans and coral reefs and everything. Mm-hmm. And the warming effect of warming creates these bigger and bigger cyclones, tornadoes, and hurricanes. So we have that to deal with. We have there is going to be flooding the on all the coastal regions of the world. We're going to see oceans rising. Certainly here in America, we'll be moving inland to more places of elevation. We have to think about fresh water. We have the Great Lakes, which are terribly polluted, but I think we're going to clean them up and use them. But the landscape of continents and countries, many of the Asian, Indonesia and Malaysia and parts of China, they are all going to be underwater in such a short period of time. So that the landscape of the planet and who, what civilizations, what peoples, where they are living are going to survive to implement this, it's already been set in place. So even if we stopped using fossil fuel tomorrow morning altogether, it wouldn't, we would still, we've already done so much damage. What we're going to have to do is move to places that will support life. So mm-hmm. massive amounts already we're having because of failed states, which are often behind the failed states, are climate change. You take the terrible civil war in Syria.
Oh my God.
Their wells dried up. One of the reasons that terrorist groups got in there and started rebelling against the horrific Assad administration and is that their wells were drying up. They couldn't grow their crops. The whole Arab Spring movement, Tunisia, for instance, back in 2011, when they rebelled, a food vendor set himself on fire because they couldn't grow their crops anymore because they were running out of water. Iraq, the Tigris and Euphrates River, the biblical rivers are drying up. Hmm. So much of what is going on in that region, the initial civil wars and rebellions are because of climate change. And how many places can you go on the news media that point this out?
None.
Where did this start? Why did it start?
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is it's going to be too late for a lot of locations, but it doesn't mean everybody is going to go down or we won't be able to make it or we won't survive as a species, because I think once we have nuclear fusion and we know how to do this, we will, people, you think immigration is bad now. I mean, it's really going to increase. People are going to move out of island nations and away from certain shorelines, away from deserts where they have terrible fat. Right now, in North Korea, they're in a historic famine.
Oh, really?
And Kim Jong-un, you know, just started testing Kim Jong-un's Trump's pal and buddy is, you know, while Trump was in Japan talking to the prime minister, our last remaining solid ally that we have sworn to protect, and the prime minister of North Korea sets off all of these nuclear tests, these rockets, and all he does say, oh, he's a great guy. Well, I mean, in 10 minutes, they could reach the coast of Japan, you know.
Oh, Lord.
And this is
so appalling.
It is so appalling that it's beyond belief. And now we're throwing tariffs at Mexico because of the mess. Who are these immigrants? They're not Mexicans. There's more Mexicans that have left the United States and gone back into Mexico this year than are coming in actuality.
Mm-hmm.
It's people from El Salvador and Nicaragua and these places that are failed states that have been taken over by drug lords, in which their children are being shot down in the street and in which they're starving to death due to the failed states, climate change and these things, they're all fleeing for their lives, and they happen to be going through Mexico to get to the United States. And yes, we have a huge problem with this, with or without Trump. Trump had nothing to do with this mass migration. It's all about, but we're not facing what causes it. We need to help these Central and South American nations develop effective economies and good governments. Instead, we have, you know, a tyrannical dictator over here who's doing crazy things. So this is, it's all.
Well, the world has lost faith in America as far as a balancing force.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I have, maybe you could call it a blind faith, that America has the opportunity to reclaim the ideal of democracy and governance by and for the people. But you have to have, the people cannot run the government. It's too massive, too big, and there's got to be trust established, and there have to be more localities, individual states, individual communities that take over their own local governance and show honesty and integrity in dealing and facing the issues.
But I think that's really interesting, and I really believe in what you're saying, except that I'm going, what about the corporations? They just want to gobble up a lot of these situations, whether it's states or country, don't they?
Well, this is why we need to pay attention to who's in Washington and what are we going to do about all this. I mean, Trump gave those corporations an enormous tax break back in 2017.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the one for the people and help the very entities that have destroyed most people's pathway to economic freedom and everything. He gave them their big tax break. Now, that tax break is going to be running out. It's not going to be. They used that to buy back 60% in 2018 were stock buybacks, which is why the market didn't crash the end of 2017. Because in 2018, they were buying back their stock in anticipation of the tax break they were going to get. And now even some of the corporate heads are starting to realize how apocalyptic the time is that we are in. And some of them are realizing what they may have done and are trying to do something. I give them credit.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of billionaires that have paid off student loans for many
years. Yes. Uh-huh. The guy who paid off, the richest African American, paid off all of the college loans of the graduates of Morehouse College recently. But we've got to figure out how to get everybody into some kind of advanced trading. Here in New York State, something that people don't widely know is that we passed a law last year, or the year before last, that gives every resident of New York State free college tuition to the state colleges and universities.
Great. I love that. I have heard of that. Yeah.
Now, the trade-off is that, say, a kid goes to college in the CUNY system here for 4 years. His deal is he has to stay in New York State and work here for 4 years following his graduation. Or if it's a two-year college, he stays for 2 years.
Well, that's not a bad deal, is it?
It's a great deal. Mm-hmm. It also helps us refurbish our economy here in the state of New York.
Yeah, and generate some creativity and all that kind of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And also, if young people were thought to think like entrepreneurs at an early age, instead of thinking like I got to be an employee somewhere, I really do believe in entrepreneurial capitalism. I do not believe in monopolistic plutocratic capitalism, which is
good
what we have
point.
Now.
Yeah. Do you see? Okay, I'm going to change it radically because I don't want to lose you before we get to some of these other things, which is, do you see the corporate dominance changing? A, B, do you see what is up for Trump? Do you see him collapsing? We keep looking at him going, he looks pretty fragile. Do you see all of that happening? What do you see with it going?
Well,
to get free education, but what if the economy keeps going the way it goes? I'm like,
Well, we're going to experience a severe collapse in Wall Street, a similar to 2008.
But they got bailed out. They got bailed out. They went right back into position.
Nobody will be able to bail them out this time.
Thank you, God.
Because there isn't anything left to bail them out with. Our debt has escalated beyond belief. Our sovereign wealth debt has escalated. Private personal debt has escalated. Kids now have gigantic college loans and credit card debts and everything else. The country is in massive, massive debt. There's no way that in any way we are going to be able to bail out these people. If we're really going to have a major comeuppance. And in the 2020s, I think we have a shot at becoming much more democratic in a way, having programs that really do form a safety net for people.
It won't be all about money, about who's got the money.
It will be, but I envision a new kind of economic paradigm that is a balance between entrepreneurial capitalism and social support programs, similar to what the Scandinavian countries have today that are very, very successful. The Scandinavian countries are not socialists. They have social programs like Social Security, Medicare, but their systems are, they have federal health care from cradle to grave. They have this kind of support, but they also have very successful businesses, and their standard of living, the average standard of living is high there. They have all the top numbers in quality of life and economic less poverty and, you know, everything, but they're smaller countries. They're very uniracial. There's not a lot of ethnic racial mixtures in those countries. There are different things there, but they still are a model for where we, I think, are going to go in the 2020s. I think that we're going to re-envision the ecosystem of our economy, and we're not going to become a communist dictatorship, which the Republicans are always screaming about the Democrats, and a lot of the young people don't even know what that is anyway.
Exactly.
Because they were not alive.
Well, I'm from Canada, and they use socialists like it's a poison word here.
Yes, I think we ought to throw many of these words. I'm sick of talking about on the left, on the right, the conservatives, the liberal. I'm sick of those terms because
it's
all they are is way of putting somebody down. They don't have any real meaning. What needs to happen is intelligent, civilized people who care about humanity and the planet need to get together and create a balance between, as I said, entrepreneurial capitalism, which has always fueled people's imaginations and excitement. We need to own something. Communism is you don't own anything. The government owns everything. That's not what we need at all. What we need is the ability to own our property, the ability to create good businesses and work together. Some Bernie Sanders likes the idea of worker-owned businesses, like you have a small business and all of the workers in it own a share in the business, which makes you really motivated to make that business work because you own a piece of
it. Yeah, you're nurturing it, yeah.
Exactly. So I want to say that there are good ideas out there. But there's so many infrastructures that are going to be wiped away with climate change, and we're going to have to re-envision ourselves on so many different levels. Astrology only knows the cycles that we're facing, the issues and the themes. We really don't know who the characters are going to be, and we don't know what the decisions are that we're going to make. That's the unknown. And it's out of the unknown, out of the collective spiritual soul of humanity and this precious life on earth, that many of the answers are going to come. Much of the compassion and the wisdom and the understanding is going to come from that collective soul once we get out of this era of darkness.
And what's happening in Trump's chart?
Trump's chart has not been what I would be considered to be favorable. He's gone from one crazy thing to another, but his base at 37% to 40% or whatever supports him. I think, you know, as I said on a couple of newsletters ago, I think they drank the Kool-Aid. And, you know, they're just going to stick with this no matter what. They aren't interested in the truth about anything. They're not interested in digging in and finding out what's really going on. Trump is in trouble. He is under a lot of stress and strain. It's just going to go from bad to worse for him, especially in the fall of the year, because he's very tied to the stock market, and he blows all over the place about a great economy, have a great stock, you know. And his things, really, the consequences, he's not going to make a deal with China. He's now imposing tariffs on Mexico. I mean, after he already told them that he made a positive trade agreement, he lies about everything.
He lies like a sidewalk.
Yes. And my feeling is it's just going to get worse for him. And even his Republican supporters are starting to crack. They can't. The consequences of what he's doing is so horrendous. And by the fall of the year, I think that he has some underlying health issues.
Okay.
That because of his personality, which is constant screaming and yelling and tweeting and always, you know,
and eating junk food.
He's obese. He has, as Sanjay Gupta, the doctor on CNN, reported months ago, he says he has very high cholesterol and high calcium levels in his blood. He's got this. I notice how red he looks so much of the time.
Yeah.
Flushed and red. And, you know, I think he's got some underlying health issues. Now, one of the things he could do, and I'm not saying he will, but one of the things he might do is proclaim that he's got a serious health issue and has to leave the presidency and let Pence take over.
Oh, Pence is not so hot either, is he?
No, but he's in any short period that he might be remaining in office, there's no chance he would get elected president. He's not popular with anybody.
Okay.
But he just might do something like that because he might have a health issue and simply leave. Rather, they're not going to impeach him. The Republicans will never impeach Trump. They simply won't do it. Nancy Pelosi is right. She says it's a waste of energy to start impeachment. What they need to do is promote this lineup of Democrats that are running for president is among the best lineup I have seen in years.
Good, yeah.
These candidates are terrific, and
maybe they'll formulate a whole house. You know what I mean? A big group.
I think so. Now I feel that especially the young ones are really the wave of the future. That it's going to be unstoppable. But I want to say, if the Democrats don't get their act together and nominate somebody who could win, if they're all fighting each other from extreme wings of the party, they're all, and Nancy Pelosi is trying to bring everybody together. She knows that this needs to happen. The Republicans are always a united front, for good or for terrible ill. Mm. The Democrats fight with each other, and they don't come together.
And, I know.
And so that the Democrats have got to stop tearing each other apart. It's interesting. Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, the other day, whom I like very much. Every time I see him interview, he's in Oxford, went to Oxford, was a Rhodes Scholar, went to a graduate of Harvard, was an officer in the U.S. Navy, in the Secret Service part of the Navy. He served in Afghanistan. I mean, this man is amazing, and he's only in his 30s.
Wow.
He's amazing.
Wow.
And every time he appears on a show, you hear nothing but intelligence and the way he frames things and everything. I don't think he's going to get elected president this time around, but I think he's somebody. He had a great announcement chart. Another great announcement chart was Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And my personal feeling is that they nominate Joe Biden and put Kamala Harris in as vice president. That's the ticket that could beat Donald Trump. Otherwise, I hate to say this, but the planetary pictures in November of 2020, he could get reelected.
No, please.
He could. And it will depend on how the Democrats put together a really winning ticket. And that depends. That ticket, I think, could win. And it just depends on whether they're going to eviscerate each other or not, or all pull. One thing about Buttigieg is he says all of the candidates that are running are wonderful people, and he thinks Joe Biden is a great, honest, decent person. He's not tearing everybody up.
Good.
He's not.
Good.
And so I think there's a
line.
Well,
what about Bernie? Does Bernie tear people up? I didn't think so.
No, Bernie, I think his time came and went. He should have been the nominee of the Democrats in 2016. I think he would have beat Trump. That's my opinion. Mm. If the Democrats had nominated Bernie,
yeah.
All the young people were excited and getting on board. And his ideas and notions and everything are truly, in many ways, the wave of the future. He still has strong ratings, but I don't think he's going to be the nominee. I think the likelihood is that Biden will be the nominee.
Because they're afraid of his being a socialist, I think.
He used that term, which
yes.
was, to me, a big mistake.
Yeah, but you can see why he did it. It was being defined.
Elizabeth Warren, who is wonderful, has said, I'm a capitalist. I believe in entrepreneurial capitalism and social support systems that make it possible for everybody to win. And she's right. She has it all figured out. If you listen to her details mm-hmm. of what she has to offer, the problem is her personality, her appearance does not catch fire with people.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, we're in a media society.
Isn't
and
that
we got
too bad?
To, you know, we've got to. The other thing is that Biden appeals to a lot of the people that voted for Trump. He's from Pennsylvania originally, blue collar family. You know, he has. This appeal. And I think he's doing it. He says we're in an existential crisis, and I think he's absolutely right. And I think that's why he's running at this point in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, it's all about possibilities. Back in 2016, I was the only there was one other astrologer and myself that we thought Trump had the best chance of winning that election. Everybody else said it was going to be Hillary Clinton, and I said no. I said Hillary was the wrong nominee, and that Trump would probably win, and nobody wanted to hear it. Certainly, none of my friends at any dinner table. But
it's hard to be popular, Linda. Well, I hope you're wrong that he could get in this time, but it's making me think of getting hold of Democratic potentials and saying, "Look, pay attention to this."
Absolutely. People, especially young people, the millennials, who it was reported by the government the other day that they have the worst economic situation of any generation since the ones that were born in the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Wow.
It's a shocking. Between 1982 and 1996, they're calling the born in that cycle, they have the worst prospects. And you know, these young people have got to come out of the woodwork and vote against Trump. They must do it. And they've got to have enough of an exciting, the Democrats have to excite these people. And Bernie Sanders succeeded in exciting them.
Yeah.
And he's still exciting them.
And he's still exciting them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But these guys are thinking of all these coalitions of different parts of the country. We're so splintered in this country. We are as culturally diverse as Europe is,
mm-hmm.
who speak different languages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Brexit, the leaving the European Union. Nobody wants, you know, Brussels to decide their fate. I do not have hope for the European Union. I don't think they're going to stick together. I think that the UK's withdrawal is only the beginning. I think Italy may withdraw, and I just think.
But
it's
I just wonder about. Let me ask you this: it seems like when we coalesce around a goal or an organization at times, it can be way more empowering, even if there's disparity between the kinds of people.
Yeah, well, the last time, frankly, in my lifetime that I saw that happen was World War II. There was no doubt in this country, and I was born in 1940, so it was my early childhood, but even following that in the 50s, there was a tremendous spirit that we did the right thing, and we sacrificed, and we went over and helped win the war for the good guys, and we were rewarded by the most expansive and successful economy that history had ever shown. Mm-hmm. And we had the Marshall Plan in Europe, and we had MacArthur in Japan that rebuilt the economies of our enemies, and we profited from that. We had something, we had our problems. The Civil Rights Revolution was, all this was going on, but I want to say it wasn't perfect, but it was the last time this nation was really unified on what they thought was the side of right. We have been fighting with each other ever since.
One final question, because we're over time, but I want to say, what is a unifying force? So can you see in the astrological designation for America if there is a unifying force coming up?
I think that the probability is people really coming together and seeing it is in our interest to create this new economic paradigm and to get off of fossil fuels, to try to reorganize not only the biological ecosystem, which we're going to be forced to do, but the economic ecosystem where it works for everybody. There's got to be a feeling that what we're doing here is not just for ruling elites. It's not just for, the Harvard graduate or whatever.
No.
It's not just, it's got to work for people in the middle of the country. They've got to believe that they and their children will have a future, that they can get the kind of education, that they can get what I think we're going to have federal health care in one form or another. Inevitable in the 2020s.
But what about climate change? Is climate change possibly a great focus for everyone? You know what I mean? Is it possible?
Right now, right now, the majority of people are hardly paying attention to it until their town is wiped out.
Oh.
When their town gets wiped out, they're paying attention to it. Mm. But otherwise, it's as I said, their eyeballs and brains are blitzed by all of the reality shows on all of the media, and they don't know where to turn, and they just kind of escape under the quilts, so mm-hmm. to speak. I think that when people feel that there is some real hope, we need leadership. If we can have charismatic leaders that are on the side of right, we really need that for people to pay attention to them and believe in them again. And I think it's possible. I really do.
It coming up in our charts, in our collective charts?
Yeah, I see the possibility and the probability in the 2020s that these things will be appearing on the scene. But it's up to us. There is no absolute certainty. We could blow this. My last book was called Our Choice, Extinction or Evolution, that I co-authored with a data analyst from Wall Street. And I think you interviewed us
on
your show when
this
came out. We really do feel that this is we can choose. We're either going to evolve to a higher and wiser and more loving form of consciousness on this planet, or we're going to go down and become extinct as a species, along with everything else. And nobody knows which choice we're going to make. I can only say as an astrologer that there are some real avenues opening up. There is some light coming in. And will we make that choice is going to be up to us, as it always has been.
And as you say, it's our choice. And maybe that's the way to end this, reminding us, all of us, no matter how horrendous it looks, we're choosing that evolutionary path. Right?
Absolutely.
Well, much love to you, Miss Linda Sherman. You're an amazing, insightful, terrifying Soothsayer.com. I'm teasing about terrifying because Linda just tells it like it is in her charts. And her newsletter is Soothsayer.com. And people can get hold of you on that, can they not?
Yes, they can. And it's spelled Soothesayer. It's confusing, but there's an E in the middle. You can Google me or my newsletter, get right on the newsletter. My books are on the right side if you're interested in buying any of my books. And my newsletter goes up the first of every month and is free to everyone. No subscription.
And
it's free to everybody.
Fascinating. I like that you've spelled soothsayer, because it calms you down. It helps us to know what's kind of the impulse that's going on around human consciousness. But thank you. It's always a delight to have you on.
A pleasure, Veronica.
Okay, we're going to talk again.
I hope so.
All right, Linda. Thank you. Bye now.